It's great to be with you. I trust you have been uplifted and encouraged in the worship service thus far. We come now to the time when we open the scriptures. And the text for tonight is Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And I'd ask you, if you have a Bible with you, could you please open it there, and we will read the first 9 verses to set the context for our text this evening. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll commence reading from verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned, and received, and heard, and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you all. Amen. The title for the sermon this evening is The Battle for the Mind. Let's open in a word of prayer. Father, I do thank you for the wonderful privilege that we do have to come and meet in this very simple way this evening. Father, we do thank you that we could sing praises unto you. We thank you that we could give unto your work. And Father, we thank you now for your word. Father, we thank you that your word is alive, that it's powerful. And Father, it is oh so relevant to us today, despite being written so long ago. And we do thank you and praise you for that. Father, I do ask tonight that the Holy Spirit would have his way in our hearts. Father, that we would have soft hearts and submissive hearts and be willing to listen and apply the word that you have for us this evening. I ask this now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. It has been said the battle in the Christian life is the battle for the Christian mind. But beloved, we are in a spiritual warfare, and the battlefield is in our minds. Now, much of the Christian life comes down to the mind. It is that which is happening there that will determine whether we live a fruitful and purposeful Christian life. The battle with sin always starts in the mind without failure. How we think governs the way we act and behave. In fact, our lives are really a product of our thoughts. And yet, how often we fail to understand both the importance and the significance of the battle that is happening within our minds. And that is shown by our lack of care as to what we put into our minds. If we were as careless with what we put into our mouths compared to what we put into our minds, we would be extremely ill, probably dying if not dead. And it is for these reasons we take particular care as to what we put into our mouths. And my friend, we need to learn to be as particular with what we put into our minds and what we think upon. Because the ramifications, if we fail to do so, are severe. Now, the Word of God places much emphasis on the mind. Allow me to share with you just a few things the Bible teaches that are important for us to fathom in order to grasp both the necessity and the urgency to be vigilant with what we put in and what we think upon. Number one, the Bible teaches that God knows our thoughts. Psalm 139 verse 2 says, "Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." Every thought that enters into our minds, God knows. Scary, isn't it? He's the omniscient God, meaning He knows all things, including every thought that has ever occupied any time within our minds. He knows. He saw it. The question is, what does God think about your thoughts? Remembering He knows everything you think, we need to keep that in mind. Number two, our character is shaped and determined by our thoughts. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Now we become what we think. Our behavior, our attitudes and our actions are a product of our thoughts. There is a computer saying, garbage in, garbage out. You know, a computer's output is dependent on the information that is input. And so too, our actions are a result of our thinking. You know, our mind governs our affections, which govern our will, which determines our choices and our actions. Now, one scholar said, "Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." And it all starts in the mind. Number three, sinful thoughts are offensive to God just like sinful actions. Matthew 5, verse 28 says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." It is not just the act of adultery that is sinful, or any sin for that matter, but it's also the thought that is sinful. Now, in the eyes of God, our sinful thoughts are incredibly offensive. It's important that we understand this. But how often we think, "I didn't actually do it, so it doesn't matter." And my friend, it is a good thing that you didn't do the sinful thing you were thinking about. But that thought is still offensive in the eyes of God. You and I will have to give an account for our thoughts as well as our actions. And hence, for the believer, there is a necessity to confess our wrong thoughts, not just our wrong deeds. Now, these three points before us explain as to why the scriptures place so much emphasis on the mind. Now, scriptures such as Romans 12:2, a verse we know, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And of course, Colossians 3:2, which says, "Set your affection," which really could be translated, "Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." And it is the importance of what we allow into our minds and what we think upon are two things that I cannot stress the importance and necessity of enough that are addressed before us. In verse 8, we are called to think on these things. That's the final phrase in verse 8. This particular phrase is an imperative in the present tense. What this means is it is a command, and it's something that we are to be constantly doing. The word "think" is the Greek word legitsimai, and this is where we get our English word logic from. And it means here to reckon or to meditate, to seriously consider, to ponder deeply. And what this is calling for is the habitual discipline of the mind. Now, we must teach our minds with the help of the Spirit to think correctly. It is implied that we can and we should exercise a very rigid control over our minds. You and I are responsible for how we think, for what we dwell upon. We must understand that there is a battle raging in our minds, and we must be diligent in guarding them. In the text before us, there are eight things, or eight guidelines, to govern what we think upon. Our things outside of these guidelines are out of bounds for our thoughts, and hence they should be avoided as we daily strive to strengthen the integrity of our minds. You will notice in verse 8 that the first six terms are accompanied by the phrase, whatsoever things. And all of these words are in the plural. And what this denotes is that several things can be included with this word. So it's not just one thought, but there are many facets, as we will see. But the final two terms, they are in the singular. And they are not accompanied by the phrase, whatsoever things, as you can see. And these two terms, virtue and praise, are nouns rather than adjectives. And these last two terms are really to be viewed as a summation or a crescendo to this verse, to wrap it all together. So with that background information done, let's turn our attention to the text and learn about what things we are to think upon in order to help us win the battle of our minds. Knowing that what we put in will come out. What we think will be what we become. We must learn to discipline our minds. We're responsible for how we think. And we have some guidelines to govern and to teach us how to think and what to think on. So number one, we are told to think on things that are true. We are to fill our minds with things that are truthful, things that are real, authentic, and genuine, the certainties of life, as opposed to error, lies, falsehood, and possibilities. We are to tell the truth, believe the truth, and practice the truth, surrounding our minds with the girdle of truth, Ephesians 6:14. Now we must remember that Satan is the father of lies, isn't he? And he's roaming around seeking to devour. And one of his favorite destructive weapons, if not his favorite, is to corrupt our mind with his lies. This was his play in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? When he declared, "You shall not die. Rather, you shall become as gods, knowing good and evil." And at this time, Eve swallowed the bait, hook, line, and sinker. She believed the lie. And we are still feeling the ramifications of that failure to think on things that were true. Now, but what are some practical ways that you and I often fail to think on things that are true? Well, firstly, if you remember from a couple of weeks ago when we were in this text, we spoke about thinking on possibilities rather than certainties. And I referred to this as what if thinking. What if this happens? What if that happens? A million things running around in our minds of situations that aren't actually true. And this is a failure to think in the way we are required to think. And this can lead us to much sin, crippling worry and anxiety. Now also within this is what I've called fantasy thinking. Now, dwelling on things that you wish you had or you wish would happen. Now, fantasizing that you owned a particular possession or were with another person or had more money. Now, it is thinking that spends far too much time in the imagination, focusing on things that aren't true which can lead one to perform many wicked things to try and make that fantasy come true. It can lead to an obsession. In fact, it's here where much serious crime begins. But thinking truthfully is also a warning of filling our minds with error in order to understand and combat false teaching and false values, whether religious or other errors. Now, we need to be very careful to not spend all of our time striving to know all the ins and outs of cults and other errors. Now, of course, we have good intentions, desiring to know them intimately, to know all of the falsehoods so we can combat it. But it is more profitable to know the truth rather than all of the error. We can get consumed with knowing everything that is wrong. Now, just like to teach one how to identify fake money, they are to be familiar with the real article. And it is this type of thinking that is encouraged, that's more profitable, to know the truth intimately rather than all of the error. For the best way to combat error is with truth. Now, my friends, we are to fill our minds with truth, especially the highest truth, that being the Word of God. We need to read, analyze, and meditate on it. Check all of our thoughts with eternal truth to make sure our minds are being filled with truth rather than error. Secondly, we are to think on things that are honest. So this term honest is one that's used in the pastoral epistles in explaining the character of a deacon. And it speaks of being honourable, of being noble, of being serious. And here it's calling us to think in a way that is dignified, in a way that's worthy of respect, that is decent. Honest is a translation of the Greek word semnos. And this term in Greek culture was often associated to gods, to temples, and holy things. And what this means is that within this term, it includes the idea of majesty, of dignity, and awe. And hence, this is calling you and I to think on high and lofty themes, to think on things that actually matter, on honourable things rather than shameful things. And negatively, this term is telling us two things. So number one, we're to get our minds out of the gutter and turn away from that which is vulgar and gross, not think on shameful things. And number two, we're to stop filling our minds with worthless thoughts, with frivolous things, with things that just don't matter. Now, how much time is wasted and how much space is taken up in our minds from we dwelling on things that, to be honest, don't matter? We're constantly thinking about sports or hobbies or computers or a plethora of other things. We fill our minds with what really, eternally speaking, is garbage. Now, we as believers must not constantly dwell on that which is trivial, temporal and mundane, on the earthly things, but rather on that which is heavenly, focusing on the lofty and majestic things with eternal value. And these things will lift our minds from the gutter and away from the frivolous and worthless things of this world. Oh, thinking on respectful and worthwhile things and themes, which of course are found in the Word of God. We must fill our minds and meditate on scriptural truth, for this will cause us to think on things that are honest. Number three, we are to think on things that are just. Dikaios, a rather common Greek word, is translated just before us. And this term speaks of that which is right, proper, fair, and equitable. And it's calling us to think on and only allow in just and righteous thoughts. Now, practically speaking, what does this look like? Well, number one, it means we are to think on things that are right rather than things that are wrong. Now, lots of things that are wrong happen in our world, don't they? Now, it's very easy to become completely overwhelmed by these things, especially if we ourselves have been wronged. Now, imagine you have done a job for someone and they've agreed to pay you a set price for the work as per quote. And upon completion, the individual refuses to pay a cent. That is wrong. But if we continually dwell on this wrong that has been done to us, we will end up bitter, angry, revengeful. And we end up with a strong dose of it's not fair thinking, or I'm going to get you back thinking. And hence we are instructed to think on the right things rather than the wrong that happened. Do you remember the story of Paul and Silas in Acts 16? For the first time they were in Philippi, they were imprisoned unjustly. And how easy it would have been for these men to think on the injustice that had occurred, to dwell on the wrong that had happened. But no. Now here were these two men in chains, in shackles, in this cold and dungy prison, singing praises to their God. Now, they were men who did not constantly think on the wrong things that happened to them. And we would do well to follow their example. But number two, to think justly is also to think about doing right rather than wrong. If we want to do what is right, we must think right. And the opposite to this is, if we entertain sinful things, we will perform sinful actions. That we must plan in our minds to do what is right, no matter the cost, no matter the inconvenience, rather than what is wrong, for right thoughts will lead to right living. And we need to purpose in our minds to always do what is right and not make provision for the flesh. And number three, our thoughts must conform to God's righteous standard. We must think in accordance to the divine standard. Thoughts that are in harmony with what is revealed in the scriptures. Now compare what we are thinking to what the Bible reveals. And if they are incompatible with what we are thinking, then we are thinking in a way that is not right. So we are called to think on those things that are just and right. The fourth guideline revealed here is that we are to think on things that are pure. And how timely and prevalent this particular instruction, relevant rather, not prevalent, that didn't make sense. Let me start again. How timely and relevant this particular instruction is. You know, we live in an incredibly immoral society, don't we? No, one that is saturated in sex, in pornography, in perversion, in innuendo. Wherever we look, we are bombarded. You know, every second advertisement has some sort of immoral connotation. Facebook and other forms of social media are constantly parading debauched imagery and articles. Now, we live in an incredibly impure culture, and it is a daily battle for the believer, both male and female, young and old, to protect and guard our minds from the gross immorality and impurity that the world we live in celebrate and glory in. Now, we as believers are called to think on things that are pure. Hagnos is a Greek word. Its root is hagios, which is most often translated holy, which has the idea of pure, of separateness. And this term is exhorting us to think cleanly, to think modestly, in a way that is morally pure. Now, this particular term is actually an all-encompassing term, including all matters of ethical purity. It's an exhortation to possess a purity of thought and purpose, as well as words and actions. But although this term is all-inclusive, its particular emphasis is on moral purity. Now, the believers at Philippi, just like we today, live in a very immoral time. Now, a debased and debauched culture that glories in their impurity. And the apostle exhorts the saints to say no to the immoral culture. Now, in other places, he commands believers to abstain from immoral practices. One thinks of Ephesians 4:3, abstain from fornication, for this is the will of God. But before us, it's taken even further. And not only are we to not participate in such behavior, but we are to not even allow this to enter our minds. No, we are not to think on these things. We are to strive to have clean and pure minds. No, not saturate them with the putrid immorality and pornographic imagery and innuendo that is rife in our culture. We as believers need to avoid these things, to not allow this impurity to grab a grip of our minds. For my friend, once they've got hold of you, it's incredibly difficult to get those images and innuendo out. The best way is to not allow them in at all. Oh, beloved, we need purity in every part of our lives. We need to think on things that are innocent and blameless, things that are clean, not dirty. We need to guard our minds against the impurity and immorality of our culture. But we are not to think on these things, for if we do, it won't be too long before it's evident in our speech and then in our actions, and then who knows what sort of immoral behavior may be forthcoming because we failed to guard and monitor what went into our minds and what we dwelt on. But beware, my friend, strive for moral purity. Now, and while we are talking about our thinking, I'm sure some of you are thinking right now, Brandon, you've only covered 4 points, there's still 4 to go. Am I ever going to get my pizza? Well, I've got some good news for you. We'll consider the next 4 next week. You know, 4 is enough for us to work on this week as we strive to strengthen the integrity of our thought life. But allow me to finish with just a couple of thoughts. You know, I hope you realize the vital significance of the mind. It is of utmost importance that we guard them, for it's here the spiritual battle is fought. And there are far too many Christians losing the battle and not living for Christ well because they are far too careless with what goes into their minds and what they think upon. You know, we must take heed to the counsel of Solomon in Proverbs 4:23, which says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, we need to control and to monitor what comes into our minds. Now, how often we are far too careless with what we watch on TV or in movies. Now, what we view on the internet, the books and the articles we read, the music we listen to, the conversations and the jokes we're involved in, and so forth. We are exhorted in the scriptures to guard our minds, to be vigilant with what goes in. Now, may we this week be alert with what we put into our minds. May we ask ourselves, is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Now, likewise, may we be aware what occupies our thoughts, what it is we are dwelling upon. For what we think about will be reflected in how we act and who we are. We will become what we think. It is of utmost importance that we daily renew our minds with Scripture and make sure that what goes in and what we think upon does not go outside the guidelines laid out before us. Beloved, think about your thought life tonight. Ask yourself, what does God think about how I think? And perhaps some change is needed. Now, maybe more diligence is required. Will you do that tonight? The Christian life is a battle for the Christian mind. The question is, who is winning the battle for your mind? Amen. Let's pray.